end tonight when that final basketball game is. Isn't that tonight? Yeah. Can you imagine somebody telling those fans tonight they need to make some noise? You think anyone's going to have to tell them they ought to shout for their team? They're into it. Amen. I want to be into serving the Lord, don't you? I want to be into worship. I appreciate confirmation. I mean, I've heard Sister Caitlin mention that about reading the Psalms. I never made the connection. Some time back, I began reading the Psalms for one purpose. Lord, teach us about worship that pleases you. Tonight from the prayer room, different periods during the service, I kept feeling the Spirit moving me, saying we need to get to that psalm thing about worship. And then Sister Caitlin came up and gave us that exhortation. Hey, man, I want to worship, don't you? I want to worship. I was actually the mulling over was coming again yesterday, and as I was thinking of the Psalms, Brother Casado, I remember something I never preached, but I said some time back, worship's a verb. I know we can talk about it being an attitude, and I have, but worship's a verb. Amen. How many knows your grammar well enough, your English grammar, to know what a verb is? It's action. Amen. It's action. Well, I'm not going to preach on that tonight. Amen. I wanted to give dads another dose. Is that okay? And though this may be dear dad, I'm really talking to all of us tonight. And so if you turn in your scripture to two places, Ephesians chapter 6 and Luke 12. Not everybody asked, so for those that didn't, Dairy Queen, that was great today. I knew you were jealous when I mentioned going there, so. It's a shame, you know, the way they're closing all the Dairy Queens. But I'll tell you something that really does bother me is driving around and looking at churches that are closing and knowing the statistics. It's a sad thing. Amen. When Jesus comes, the church is not going to be beaten down and defeated. It's going to be victorious. I'm going to be a part of that church. Glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to belong to that church? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Ephesians 6 and Luke chapter 12. And I've been doing this more than normal lately. I'm not expositing these verses. I just want to use them as the context for the thought that I want to share. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the scheming, the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not, isn't this the Sidewalk Sunday School verse? Is this it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, in high places. That's a lot of against, isn't it? That reminds me what they said to that saint years ago when he made a stand for truth in the Roman Empire. They said, don't you know that the whole world is against you? He said, if so, I'm against the whole world. If these things are against us, this is what we are against. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're called upon in the times we live, because this is the evil day. We are called on to make a stand. I want to make a stand, don't you? Been enough pushing, giving up, throwing in the towel, tolerating, conceding to the enemy. I believe it's a time we make a stand like we've never made. Another verse of scripture, I know this is a parable. I'm not going to preach what its application is tonight about the expectancy of the Lord, but I want to take it as an illustration. Jesus said, and this know, that if the goodman of the house, literally the head of the house, the man of the house, the master of the house, or just, could we say, the dad of the house, If the dad of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. What dad, knowing a thief is trying to break in, is just going to let him? Isn't that what it says? It's not. Young people, especially young men, right at the end, I've got a special application for you I want to mention, so please, if you'll listen for that till we get there. I want to preach tonight just a little bit on protector-in-chief. Protector-in-chief. Would you stretch forth your hand this way and pray with me and for me? Father, we want to hear from you. You're the mighty God. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are the church of the living God. We are the ones you have placed in this world to stand against evil, to stand against darkness, to stand against the destroyer. Lord, I pray, God, you'd move through the preaching of the word tonight to challenge our hearts. Help us preach this tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Protector in chief. You see, I've heard that lately. You have. I've got to qualify this to say this is not a political endorsement for president. It's not. If you know my personal politics, you're persuaded of that. But just recently, candidate Trump said that if he were elected president, he would be the protector in chief. That's a play off the title of president, commander in chief. He said, I will be the protector in chief. I don't know if you heard him say that. Protector in chief. When I read that in the newspaper, I told myself, that's going to resonate with a whole lot of folks. That's going to mean something to a whole lot of people. In fact, there's a lot of people wanting to hear anybody say that. They're wanting to hear. They've been needing to hear that. They want to know that somebody's on the job protecting our nation against our enemies. They want a protector in chief. Could I say, Dad, tonight, by divine design and appointment, if you are a dad, if you are a father, God has appointed you the protector in chief of your home. Amen. The protector in chief. The question we all have against these things are illustrations tonight and not political. But the question is, does the president keep us safe? Is he going to keep us safe from the terrorists and the other dangers that are encroaching upon our nation? Will the president keep us safe? We ask that of the president because it's his sworn responsibility to defend our nation and constitution and we as a people. Amen. We are in danger of natural intruders, of invaders. And I'm speaking on a very local level, your house, my house. How many knows we're in danger of invaders who want nothing more than to break in our homes and to steal our property and many times hurt our families? That is not an imagined, that is a real danger. And that's why, dads, naturally, you take that responsibility seriously to protect your home and your family. You take it seriously to keep intruders out. Many of you've installed cameras, security systems, and alarms. You put extra locks on the doors, and you have prepared yourself to neutralize any who would try to break in. I know some of you got quite an arsenal at home. You really do. Amen. You got automatics. You got pistols. You got shotguns. You've got enough ammo to supply a brigade. You've got hand grenades, and you got a tank idling in the garage. You're ready to protect your home if somebody tries to break in. Amen. You even describe what you're going to do to any intruder who would try to invade your house. That's noble. That's commendable. That's applaudable. I get that. I understand that. Amen. But there is an intruder more successful, an intruder more persistent, an intruder more common than any thief in the natural realm, than any murderer in the natural realm, than any rapist in the natural realm. And I'm talking about Satan, his imps, and the tide of evil. Amen. If we need it at any time anymore, it's now. We need protectors in chief of their home and that say enough is enough. We will refuse to allow Satan to intrude our homes, our minds, our families, our children, our church. We're going to stand and we're going to fight. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to be a protector in chief? Amen. I understand it in the natural realm. Just this past week in our area, an invader broke into a home. Dad in the bed heard him coming in. He came in the bedroom and began to speak vile things to hurt those people. And Dad reached over to the nightstand drawer, pulled out a gun from the drawer, and he shot that intruder. You must be prepared for natural intruders. I don't want to scare you with the statistics. You might not finish the message, but did you know that every 15 seconds a home is invaded? Amen. That's kind of frightening. If you want the statistics on it, it's one house or one ever 30. Let me back up. I've got time, but it's the houses. One out of every 36 houses will be broken into. Or percentage-wise, about 30% of homes in America will be broken into. I'm talking about natural invaders. Amen. That's frightening, isn't it? One out of 36 houses. But let me give you the statistics for the houses Satan's trying to break into. It's one out of one. And it's not just every 15 seconds. Many homes are under constant assault of Satan. It's a real battle we're in. It's not just a sidewalk Sunday school theme verse. It's a reality. We're in a fight with darkness. We're in a fight with the devil. There's no room for playing games. This isn't imagination. This isn't something from the movie thing. Amen. This is a reality. They are out there. They want nothing more than to invade our homes. The evil of this world, the enemy of our hearts. We are under full-fledged attack, and the enemy is seeking every venue possible to invade. Amen. He comes in many, many different ways. He comes in pornography. He comes in movies. He comes in videos, games. He comes in our thoughts. He comes through those things that magnify evil powers and glorify magic. He comes in attitudes against God, attitudes against the truth, attitudes against the church, attitudes against the people of God. He comes to invade. Oh, finally, my brethren. I said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. If this is it the evil day? I don't know what an evil day is. It's not a time for capitulation. It's not a time for surrender. It's a time to stand and say, you're coming no farther. You're trying to break in, and I am the protector in chief of my home. I got in trouble when I spoke on this at the men's meeting. I told them not to, but some men twisted what I said and went home and told their wives and got me in trouble. But I'm going to, in the jeopardy of being misunderstood, I'm going to try it once more, okay? I'm going to be very careful. But I want to tell you, God wrote it into the DNA of men to be the protector of their home. It's in their genes. And here's where I got in trouble. Proportionally, God gave man racial-wise in his body mass. I'm already getting in trouble. I'm trying. He gave man racial-wise a greater proportion of muscle than he gave to a female. That's biology. That's physiology. I'm saying it's the DNA man. Why did he give man bigger muscles? Why did he make man overall taller and larger? To be the protector of the home. Amen. I'm so concerned about our society. You are too. And sometimes we don't note it this way, but do you realize every push through media, political correctness, television, fashion, every push is a push to feminize men. Think about it. Emasculate men. You try to assume responsibility, a protectorship of your home, and you're a chauvinist. Something is wrong with you. The sexual revolution of the 60s was the birthing place of it. You see it even in fashion. Men will wear things today that just a few years ago would be considered the most feminine apparel for women to wear, and now men wear it. All of these things I mentioned, make no mistake, the feminization of man was Satan's ploy to take man out of the role and position of protector-in-chief of the home. Coupled with that, women today would down and demean not just men in general, but they would demean and they would down their own husband. A wife that would demean her husband is trying to pull him right out of the position of protectorship of his family and home. A woman who would try to dominate in her family is taking the husband from his role. It's getting really quiet here. Am I preaching something odd? God has designed it. All this testosterone, all this masculine stuff, that's not made just to play football. That's not made just to act like you're tough and to run roughshod over people. God designed man, even physiologically, to make a stand and say, there'll be no invader coming in my home. I won't use the illustration I used the night at the men's meeting, but if you got someone trying to break in, don't send your wife or your child to try to stop them. Amen. Spiritually, God has placed man at the head of the home. And here's the wonderful thing about this is by God's design. Every member of that home that gives themselves to the authority of that father, that husband, have placed themselves under the protective covering of God's design of authority. When you as a young person, as long as you're living in that home, you as a spouse, a wife, if you bring yourself under the authority of that dad and husband, you have placed yourself under this umbrella of protection from God. But the moment you begin to rebel against dad, you have just left that umbrella of protection and you have left yourself wide open to the attack of Satan, darkness, evil powers, and every other kind of thing. You see, if you want to broaden that illustration, when you have placed yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ and say, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll live the way you want me to live. You have placed yourself under the protective umbrella of God's power. You're safe. But the moment you rebel in your heart against the Lord and the things of God, you have left the protectiveness, the protective covering of the Lord. Amen. I didn't have to say anything because Sister Tricia made it clear this morning. But Father's Day is hard on a lot of people. And one of the things that bothers me even as pastors is not everybody comes from a home where they have a dad to be protector and the chief. And that bothers me. But I want to tell you, if you're a born child of God, you still are under some protection. Because, amen, I want to tell you something. You may not have a dad in your home, but if you're a part of this church of family, look around at the men here. They'll protect you. Amen. They'll protect you. And amen, and I'm not claiming anything, but I want to tell you something. Amen. If you're a born-again believer, amen, regardless what your family life is like, you may not have any father in the home, but you got a youth pastor, and you got a pastor, and you got the leadership of the church. And if you'll come under that umbrella, there's a protection there. How many knows God's what knows what he's doing? You can read it in the bulletin, but you look statistically at the research of the harm to young people when there's no dad in the home. Why? The dad is protector in chief. And so therefore, dad, we are called upon to be vigilant. We are called upon to be vigorous, valiant, victorious. Amen. You know, sometimes things just strike me so simplistically. Amen. I don't think anybody in their right mind could deny that Satan and sin and darkness and the world is invading us. Is that right? Amen. Even those that aren't living close to God, they can tell there's an invasion of evil. Listen, I know this seems silly, but I just want to make it clear tonight. Satan, sin, and the world does not invade our lives to help us, to bless us, to make things better. Amen. Sin and Satan in the world invades for only one reason: to destroy, to hurt, to tear apart, to ruin, to wreck. Let us not be deceived, amen, by Satan. Under any guise he comes, he comes as a destroyer. It's time to rise up against the destroyer, hallelujah, and say no more. We make a stand. Dads, amen, I'm including myself in that address tonight. But dads, you cannot be spiritual. You cannot be the spiritual protector unless you're spiritual. Doesn't that make sense? You can't be a spiritual protector unless you're spiritual. Amen. I know, and I'm not going to preach there very long at all, because I know spirituality is hard to define. I could ask you right now, don't let your mind go there, just so you can stay with me. But if I had asked you to write down a definition, what it means to be spiritual, you'd find it really hard, amen, to come up with a definition, because some people who act really spiritual aren't very spiritual at all. Amen. So however hard it is to define, amen, I am convinced that there is one common characteristic of spirituality, one inseparable characteristic of spirituality, and it's this: faithfulness. Amen. You show me a spiritual person, and I'll show you a person who is faithful. They are faithful to God. They are faithful to worship. They are faithful to the Word. They are faithful to prayer. They are faithful to church. Amen. You can't be spiritual without being faithful. You may be faithful at some things and not be spiritual, but you can't be spiritual without being faithful. Oh, I want to be faithful to God. I can't be in and out, up and down, cold and hot. I've got to be faithful in it for the long run, in it in spite of the adversity, in it in spite of the things that I've felt. I want to be faithful, because being faithful, I can be spiritual, and being spiritual, I can be the spiritual protector of my home. Dad, you cannot be the spiritual protector unless you have principles that are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Amen. Amen. I've noted I'm not the first, but it's surprising what some dads will stand for until the wife says, I think we ought to make a change. I'm talking about principles of God's Word. What things dads will stand for until the kids get old enough and say, you know, I think we ought to do it this way. And suddenly that crumbles. Let me tell you what principles are. Listen to me. Principles are like borders. And again, all these things tonight are not political. Amen. They're simply illustrations that you can relate to. How many knows that one of the biggest debates, even beyond the presidential campaign, one of the biggest debates we have in America is about our borders. Securing our borders. How do you like it without borders? How do you like it when folks can come and go as they please? Amen. We understand that if you don't have a defined border, you don't have a patrolled border, you don't have a guarded border, that all kinds of things begin to come into your country. Amen. Weapons, drugs, contraband, terrorists. Amen. You can say a wall don't work or whatever. Amen. If you really believe that, take the door off your house. Amen. Just put a screen door up to keep the bugs out. Amen. Just leave your windows unlocked. Amen. Don't lock your car when you come into church. Amen. How many knows we need borders to keep the invader out? Well, I want to tell you the best borders you can have in your life and for your family. The best borders are some non-negotiable principles of God's word. I believe this. Nothing's changing it. It's not up for debate. I believe God is true. I'm going to live my life by these principles. Right? Those are borders that keep the invader out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'm concerned about the borders of our nation, but I'm most concerned about the borders of our home. How many knows that for the majority, I'm talking spiritually, the majority of our homes, there are no borders. Doctors Without Borders might be a good charitable organization, but Homes Without Borders is a disaster. Did you know there is a horde of sin and perversion and evil seeking to enter the cyber porters of our home? Think of how many ways your home is connected to the cyber world. And every cyber connection is a portal where untold evil and wickedness can enter. And it is. You say, we're a church. We don't have a problem with any of that. You are sadly mistaken. There are portals to that cyber world, and there are folks that are, you have to open the door to let it in. I know there's pop-ups and stuff, but you can take care of that too. You say, I'm not technical. I'd get technical for my kids' sake. Amen. Because if you open that door, it's unbelievable filth that'll flood your life and your mind, bruise it, mangle it, scar it, twist it. I don't know where a lot of this is coming from. I'm just preaching to you tonight. But I'll tell you the reason some people can't worship God when they come to church, don't feel God, feel no desire, have no hunger for the word. They've been opening the doors to those portals, and all kinds of stuff has been coming from that. It's not funny. Amen. It's been coming through those portals and been destroying and twisting their mind. Amen. I'm talking about being protector in chief over those portals, over those doorways, over those gateways to evil. Amen. Amen. I'm not the most technical person, but I am convinced that every dependent child with a smartphone should have dad turn on the restrictions and dad secure that with the passcode that only he knows. Amen. Amen. Filters ought to be on every computer. Amen. Amen. It ought to be principles, boundaries. There's things that we won't do if it's on a church night. There are things that we won't watch. Amen. There's got to be borders if we're going to be a protector in chief. But men, not only are we protectors in chief of our homes, we are protectors in chief of our church. I think there ought to be borders for the church. Amen. Amen. A lot of people will say they tire of it. Amen. And I am, and I think you are too, of watching not just people in homes, but churches capitulate to the enemy. I mean, even today at lunch, some things were shared that were going on at denominational campgrounds and churches on the platform that can be labeled as nothing but just plain out carnality and flesh. Listen, it can be entertained, but church is not about entertainment. It's not about comedy and fun and a good time and seeing how many people we can draw by appealing to carnality in the flesh. I mean, the church has to have some boundaries. We are the protectors in chief of the church. Amen. Amen. Churches are things they've believed all through their church heritage, believed them from the Word of God. All of a sudden, they don't matter. Everything is fallen. Amen. You think it's silly? It's not. Amen. That's why we have some of the churches you would not believe that are now marrying same-sex marriages. If you looked at the roots of that church, they were nothing like that. They were on fire for God. They stood for righteousness. They stood for godliness. They preached the word, and now they're involved in the same perversion. Why? Because somebody said the borders don't matter. We don't need to stand for anything. And the men did not rise up and say, not only are we protectors of our home, we are the protectors of our church. Amen. We'll stand for right doctrine. We'll stand for right living. We'll stand for unnegotiable truths of this word. We refuse to let the enemy in. Why? Not just because we care for the church. We care for our children. We care for our nation. We care for the souls of our family. Oh, I want to be a protector in chief. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's not out of mode for a man to stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Dad, you and I can't be a spiritual protector if we ourselves allow the intruder in. I am powerless to protect my family spiritually if I'm letting the wrong spiritual influences in my life as a dad and a father. Amen. I don't need to preach there. Man, been on that all day. I don't want to insult you. I'm about done. Just about done. But our admonition is when the day gets evil, to make a stand, put on the armor of God, but make a stand. And I know this is oversimple, but how do you make a stand? You make a stand by making a stand. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. You're trying to come in. I'm not going to let you. You make a stand by making a stand. This is non-negotiable. This I won't budge on because I want to please the Lord. You see, I sense a little anger in your pastor. It's not anger at you. It's not anger at God's people, but it's anger at the enemy and how he destroys. Isn't it a horrible thing? I have given you a lot of illustrations. You can think of so much destruction that the enemy has caused because he got through the door. Amen. You got an invader, you get real trouble the moment you open the door to even talk to him. Because if he can get that foot in, the rest of him's coming in. Don't let him get a foot in. Don't let him get a toe in. Don't let him get a toenail in. Amen. Don't let him get the end of his sock in. Amen. You make a stand by making a stand. Young men, I said I want to talk to you just briefly. I admire our young men. But young men, you are protectors in chief in training. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have children. And you're going to be called upon to protect that wife and children. It's important maybe that you learn how to shoot and get your tank and all that stuff. That's great stuff. But as dangerous as the physical danger is, the real danger is the enemy of this world, Satan. Protectors in chief and training. Not that you can't do anything right now. In fact, that's what I want to talk to you about. Amen. Got a great group of young people. A great youth group. But I'll tell you what my prayer has been for some time. I know your parents' hearts and the people of the church want to see God do tremendous things within the youth group and stop this infiltration that has destroyed so many young people's lives. And you many of you, especially your older ones, you can sit and make a list of those that went to youth camp and worshiped and had God moved on. Tonight they're out and seeing, they're bound up, their lives. But I want to tell you what my prayer is. And you young ladies too, I'm just preaching to the men right now, the young men. My prayer has been for some time, God, raise up young men in the youth group that see it about the youth group and say, not our youth group. We're going to be protectors and chiefs. We refuse to let the invader in. Finally, my brethren, no age limit on that. So I say to you young men, my brethren, stand up, rise up as protectors of the youth group and say, no more. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to let the Spirit move. We're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I know it can be a fierce battle, but have you ever tasted a victory? Have you ever tasted a victory when you made a stand? You've turned the force of evil back. You've defeated Satan. This time he didn't get in. This time he didn't snatch another young person. This time he didn't destroy another mind. This time he didn't ruin another home. Have you ever tasted victory? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I want to close with this verse. Amen. From 1 John. Amen. The apostle, he's aged. But he said, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. We've been preaching to the fathers. But then he said, listen young men. He said, I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. He didn't say, I write unto you old men because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you elders of the church because you've overcome. He said, I write unto you young men, the apostle said, because you overcame the wicked one. Oh, hallelujah. Victory. Have you tasted of it? Glory to God. You don't have to taste of bondage. You can taste of victory. Would you come, music? Gives the family great peace and comfort and rest to know that dad is protector in chief. Dad is on duty protecting them. He's checked the doors. He's checked the windows. He's got the pistol loaded. Amen. That gives the family great peace. Hallelujah. I want our young people to go to camp knowing there's some protectors in this church that's going to make a stand for them. Hallelujah. Especially those that have no familial connection in the church. I want them to know. Amen. Your parents may not be a part of this church, but there's pastors, there's men in our church, there's godly ladies in our church. They'll be a protector. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. How many feels, amen, the Holy Spirit work? Amen. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. That's not a mystical thing. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord begins to move in the hearts of people and say, make a stand against that enemy. I feel that tonight. Again, amen. How do we do that, dads? Amen. Sticking to the truth is locking the doors and windows. Praying is watching and checking the doors the second time. Amen. But moving with the Spirit is taking action against the invader. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not political. Amen. In any way. But I begin to think about borders. And there's no doubt terrorists have come across our southern border. And I endorse none of these. I don't know them enough about them one way or the other. But there are groups of private citizens that have taken upon themselves and banded together and said, we're going to protect our borders. And they've gotten their guns. And here's one a reporter's a description of that, of just one of those protectors. He said, with binoculars in hands and an assault rifle slung over his chest and a Glock pistol on his hip, a man named Will scans the banks of the Rio Grande looking for anybody trying to cross from Mexico into Texas. Will is a member of the Patriots, a group of heavily armed private citizens who uses a display of force to intimidate people attempting to cross the border illegally. And since early summer, the Patriots have patrolled this certain area. Amen. I don't know where you stand on that issue. It doesn't matter. But I was thinking, I wish there would be those that rise up in the church that would be just as vigilant. Amen. We've had enough invasion. It said that they scanned, they guarded, they looked. Amen. They're heavily armed. I think we need to be heavily armed with prayer, heavily armed with the Word, heavily armed with the Spirit, and said, we've had enough invasion. Amen. Let me read on just a little bit. Amen. He says, he's talking to Will, and Will said, if you spot them, oh, hallelujah, listen to this. He said, if you spot them, you shine your light on them, and it lets them know that you're there. You know why so much evil's come across the border and invaded? Nobody shined a light on it. I tell you what we need to do. We need to shine the light on evil and let evil know that we're here. We've made a stand in the evil day. Oh, we need to hold forth the light. I said we need to shine a light. Glory to God. Spotlight the enemy. Amen. Amen. Even if they're going to try to cross, we're still making it harder for them. That's the reason we're here. Amen. If you could remove your mind, amen, from the immigration issue, I want to tell you that's why we're here. The enemy's going to attack. He's going to come against families, homes, churches, and marriages. But we're here to make it hard on him. No, we're here to be victorious over him. Things have been said about the coming of the Lord. And shortly, Sister Diane, he's going to be crushed. Satan is under the feet of the saints. But till he's crushed, we're going to make a stand against his invasion. Protector in chief. Would you stand across the building? If the goodman of the house, the protector in chief, had have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and suffered his house to be broken through. I want you to know, it's not a matter of what hour he comes. He's coming. He's knocking on the door. He's rattling the windows. He's coming through that internet. He's coming through that cable. We need some protectors and chiefs. Amen. That's it. Here's the altar call. Men, young men, first of all, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I'm not saying you're not. If you are, I'm encouraging you. But if you're here tonight and you want to be a protector in chief of your home, your family, your church, I just want you to come and say, Lord, I'll be that protector. Would you come right now? Men and young men, I'll be that protector. I want to be a protector in chief. I want to make a stand. Let's come and really pray tonight. We need divine help. We need spiritual help. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Shine the light on the evil. Shine the light on the evil. Oh, hallelujah. In the cross, oh, hallelujah. Before, by the grace of God, hallelujah. I wasn't planning this. It may not be conducive, but it's probably not. Just come, ladies. Amen. Feel this wing up over here, ladies, and pray for these men. Amen. Feel this wing, ladies, up over here. Pray for these men tonight. Oh, hallelujah. If you can get to your husband, that'd be great if you prayed with him tonight, but it may not logistically work. Amen. Ladies, just feel this wing and pray. Amen. Point your arm this way, your hand this way. Pray for our men. Amen. We're called to. It's not just in our physical DNA. It's in our spiritual DNA to be a protector of our homes. Make a stand. Make a stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hates evil and loves righteousness. Give me that heart, that in my heart that rises up against the invasion of my home. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's pray. Oh, God, lay your hand upon our young men tonight. God calls them to rise up. Hallelujah. Not our youth group. Not our youth group. Not our young people. Not the ones we grew up with. Not the ones that we love. We make a stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I write a new young men because you have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome the wicked one. Let's pray. Spend some time and pray. God, you're raising up. You're raising up.
today.
Just call it what it is. It's an invasion of the enemy. Shine the light on it. Shine the light on it. Shine the light on it. Oh, there's a rising up tonight. Stand. Stand.
Serve the Lord no matter what comes my way.
You make a stand by standing.
I'm going to live this life no matter what my friends say.
Not giving up.